This is Audible.
Boss Alpha, Volume 5. Written by Victoria Quinn. Narrated by Michael Ferraiolo and Samantha Cook. Chapter 1. Hunt. I understood why Titan did what she did. Didn't mean I was happy about it. I didn't speak to her for 4 days. She didn't call me, and I didn't call her. We worked on our respective projects independently. Fortunately, we didn't have anything pressing to discuss for Stratosphere. I focused on work and expanding my empire. When I was angry, I threw myself into work harder. I brought a whole food chain and invested in an online shopping retailer. I bought things left and right, looking for ways to expand my wealth as quickly as possible. Money wouldn't make me happy, but it made me feel like I had control over something. It was all I had right now. I went out with Pine and Mike a few times. The women were there, sliding their hands up my thighs and whispering dirty things into my ear. They wanted to be in my bed, even at the same time. But I ignored their advances. Only one woman on my mind. My old lifestyle didn't interest me anymore. The second Titan walked into my life in those black stilettos, my world changed. The same old tricks didn't work anymore. The one-night stands were boring. My heart was no longer empty. There was only one place I wanted to be, one bed I wanted to invade, but I was too angry. I wasn't ready to see her. She didn't owe me anything. It wasn't like it was a secret. She told me this was her plan all along. I won her over, but with the snap of a finger I lost her again. The universe didn't want us to be together. Or someone didn't want us to be together. On the fifth day, my knuckles finally relaxed and the rage dulled inside my chest. I could look at her without telling her she'd made a mistake. I could be calm and professional. I could be the man who preceded me by reputation. I walked into Stratosphere with my paperwork tucked under my arm in a folder. I greeted our assistants, then headed to her office. I knew she was there since the door was open. My knuckles tapped against the wooden door before I stepped inside. She sat at her desk with a perfectly straight back. Her slender shoulders were elegantly poised, and her makeup highlighted the natural beauty of her features. She wasn't startled by my presence. She was a pro at hiding her emotions. Now that there was distinct distance between us, it was much easier for her to hide what she didn't want me to see. She wore a black jacket that was tight against her body, large black buttons reflecting the lights from up above. Diamonds gleamed from her earlobes, subtle, but elegant. I welcomed myself into her office and took a seat. I rested one ankle on the opposite knee, unbuttoned the front of my suit, and then laid the folder in my lap. Like nothing was different, I behaved as this were any other meeting. She meant nothing to me. She was just a person sitting behind a desk. She looked at me, her green eyes vibrant like a forest. She projected a hard exterior, but her smooth flesh suggested otherwise. I'd experienced all of her, and I knew there was nothing but softness under that tough exterior. I noticed the engagement ring on her left hand, but I didn't allow myself to stare. I hadn't been expecting her to wear it, but it wouldn't make sense for her not to. Now I would see her wear it all the time, publicly proclaiming her love for a different man. We still hadn't spoken to each other, but that wasn't unusual for us. Our connection transcended words. I've worked up a lot of ideas. I think we should coordinate with the stores and prepare for the holiday season. Experienced shoppers will hit the aisles before Thanksgiving even arrives. After staring at me for a long minute, she nodded.
Lay them on me.
I placed a copy on her desk, then went through my suggestions. She listened to me, challenged me, and added her feedback. She was an easy partner because she was always honest with no ego. If I didn't like her idea, she brushed it off without conflict. Nothing was ever personal with her. She just wanted to do her job well. After a few minutes of discussing back and forth, it started to feel normal again. We didn't talk about the engagement or how heavy that ring was on her finger. She didn't ask where I'd been the past week, and I didn't ask what she did in her spare time. We just stuck to business. When we finished, I left the chair. I'm heading back to my building. I'll see you later. I turned my back on her and walked out without waiting for a passionate goodbye. She wanted to remain professional at work, and that was easy for me to do. I thrived doing business, and since our personal relationship was so strained, this was much easier. I could stick to the facts, I could stick to the numbers. I could stick to the bullshit. A week of not getting laid was taking its toll. Titan came to me in my dreams, making me wake up warm and sweaty. My thoughts strayed when I was at work. I had a meeting with one of my executives, and while he droned on about quarterly profits, I imagined Titan sitting on my face. I was hard up. As much as I wanted her, I refused to cave. She had to come to me first. She had to tell me she wanted me. She had to remind me that she was still mine, inflate my hope like a balloon. I sat on the couch in my living room, enjoying a glass of scotch while the game was on. I was in my sweatpants and shirtless, hoping Titan would pay me a visit at any moment. My phone was on the coffee table, but the screen was black. I took a drink, letting the square ice cubes touch my lips as I drank. I'd told Titan to cut back on the alcohol, but I needed to take my own advice. I'd been drowning myself lately because it made me feel numb. It was nice not to feel anything. The elevator beeped and the light above the doors lit up. My eyes immediately shifted to the entrance and my heart began to race. My cock hardened in my boxers, growing in expectation. Titan was on the other side. She was the only person who would drop by unannounced. She was the only person with that right. The doors opened and sexy legs stepped inside, toned in the black heels. She was in the same gray dress as she wore earlier, the black jacket skin tight and slimming. I didn't rise from the couch. My elbows rested on my thighs and I leaned forward. My head was turned her way and I ignored the TV. The commentators rambled on in the background, so I grabbed the remote and turned it off. She stood by the doorway and looked at me like she didn't know what to do next. There was only one reason for her visit, and she couldn't sugarcoat it. She wanted me, plain and simple. She sauntered toward me, moving slowly as the tension escalated. Her eyes were locked on mine as her cheeks flushed with a wave of pinkness. Her fingers worked the front of her jacket, and she undid every button slowly. My eyes never strayed from hers. She dropped the jacket on the ground, then moved into my lap. She pushed my shoulders against the couch and hiked up her skirt to her waistline. She wasn't wearing panties. Fuck. She tugged the front of my sweatpants down until my length was revealed. She scooted up, grabbed me by the base, and then directed herself onto my length. She slowly lowered herself, her pussy slicker than it had ever been since the day I met her. She wanted me, badly. My hands moved to her hips, and I tugged her down until I was deep inside her. I could feel the tightness of her incredible pussy, the overwhelming wetness. She felt so good, like her pussy was made to fit my monster cock perfectly. Miss me, baby? Her hand snaked up my chest until she reached my shoulders. She dug her nails into my skin harshly, clawing at me so I couldn't get away. Her beautiful tits were hidden underneath her dress, but seeing her like this was just as sexy. Too anxious to feel me, she hadn't been able to wait to get everything off and onto the floor. Yes. I planted my bare feet on the floor and I thrust into her, sliding my soaked dick deep inside her. She moved with me, matching my pace perfectly. Her nails dug deep and her breaths came out as pants. She breathed harder and deeper as she ground with me, dragging her clit against my pelvic bone. She didn't start off slow and gentle, she got right to the point, fucking my brains out because she was going crazy without me. I'd been going crazy too. We didn't share a single kiss because we used all our energy just to fuck. She slammed down on my dick and I thrust hard into her, taking all of her pussy every single time. She knew how to take my enormous size like a real woman. She rode it deep and hard, knowing exactly how she liked to be fucked, as did I. Her fingers shook as they gripped my shoulders. She skipped breaths as she prepared to explode. Whimpers turned to moans, and soon she was screaming in my apartment, the sound joining all the faint echoes from our past. I wanted to keep going, to make it a sex marathon like we used to have, but I hadn't gotten laid in too long, and she looked too damn sexy walking into my apartment without panties. She came here to fuck me. She couldn't handle the distance any longer. The silence killed her. The hormones suffocated her. I released deep inside her, dumping more cum than I ever had. I filled every single inch of her, feeling my cum dribble back out and toward the base of my length. I kept going, giving her more than she could hold. She scratched her nails down my chest and moaned again, rolling her hips and enjoying the feeling of my explosion. She pressed her face to mine and slowly came down from the high, the tenderness stretching between us. When we were both finished, we looked at each other with the same lust, like we hadn't been satisfied by that rendezvous. But there was depth in the look, feelings that were far more profound than sex. I lifted her as I got to my feet, and I carried her into my bedroom. My cock was still inside her, where it would be buried for the rest of the evening. I hoped she'd been sleeping well because neither one of us would get sleep tonight. I set her on the bed and yanked her dress over her head. Her bra came next, and then she was finally naked underneath me, gorgeous and sexy. I gripped both of her tits because I missed them as much as I missed the rest of her. I got my sweatpants and boxers off, then positioned myself on top of her, prepared to fuck her even harder than I just had. I was semi-hard, but I was quickly returning to full mast. Her arms circled my neck, and she kissed me hard on the mouth.
"Give me all of your cum, Hunt."
She locked her ankles together against my back.
"I missed it."
It seemed like we went back in time. Now we were fucking the way we used to. We didn't talk about our lives, we didn't talk about anything. It was right to the point, and then she left. We really were just a hookup. I was a booty call. I didn't ask her how she felt about being engaged to Thorn. I never asked if she was happy. I didn't want to know when they were getting married. I wasn't ready to listen to those painful words just yet. I was still broken. When I went to Stratosphere the next day, Titan was already in the conference room. We had a meeting with a few distributors for the East Coast, and coffee and snacks were supplied by our assistants. She sat at the end of the table, her tablet in front of her, along with her notepad and pens. She wore a skin-tight red dress and black heels. Red was an intense color, and very few people could wear it so well. She made it look like a second skin. I took a seat and opened my satchel. She looked through her tablet, silently preparing for the meeting. We didn't say hello. It didn't seem like I fucked her for hours last night. There was no sleep in her eyes. She didn't appear to be tired at all, even though she'd left my place around 2 in the morning. It shouldn't surprise me that we could sit together like this, as if last night hadn't happened. But it still surprised me. I caught the glimmer in the corner of my eye, the bright sparkle that reflected off the diamond on her hand. I didn't look directly at her ring because it would only piss me off, but it was distracting, the way it shimmered with the rainbow. I finally turned my head and got a glimpse. It was an enormous diamond in a white gold band. It was simple, but enormous. Thorn cared more about making a statement with the jewelry he placed on her finger than giving her something she truly wanted. Titan preferred subtlety. If I bought her a ring, it would look much different from that. I glanced away, hating myself for looking in the first place. "You want to leave this one?" I stared out the window because looking at the cityscape of Manhattan was far less painful than looking directly at her.
"Sure."
I'd led the presentation last time, so I didn't want to overstep by going first again. She glanced at her watch.
They should be here any second. Anything we need to go over?
I could crunch numbers and talk business all day. Titan made it easy. But we were so good together when we did other things. I hated this distance, this coldness. It was sickening. No. Titan lifted her gaze and stared at me. I wasn't looking directly at her, so I wasn't sure if I was right, but I suspected I was. She stared at the side of my face, her green eyes burning into me like fire. I knew she wanted to say something, to address this tension between us, but picking at the seam would only force it to rip apart completely. It was better to say nothing at all. I walked into the restaurant and took my seat in the booth. We were at Charlie's Steakhouse, a popular place for lunch for executives. It was close to my office, along with everyone else's. It was hard to get a table, but I never had a problem getting in anywhere. I sat across from Kyle Livingston, who had made it into town the night before. I didn't waste any time getting an audience with him. Kyle shook my hand.
How are things, Diesel?
Fucking terrible. Good enough. What about you?
My wife is pissed at me, but she's always pissed at me.
What did you do this time?
Told her I didn't want to start a family just yet.
He shrugged.
Work has been too hectic.
If Titan were my wife, I'd be knocking her up right now.
Work is work. Work shouldn't be life.
Really? He narrowed his eyes in annoyance.
You're the biggest workaholic I've ever met, and you're going to tell me that?
I brushed off the comment by getting the waiter's attention and ordering a beer. Kyle did the same.
So, how's your secret lover?
I'd professed my love for a nameless woman the last time I saw him and Rick Perry. I'd been hoping to come clean about Titan's identity by now. Looked like that was going to be on hold for a while.
Good. Are you going to tell me who this woman is yet?
Nope. I took a drink before I commandeered the conversation. I wanted to talk to you about working with Titan. You both have the same interests, and you can both be vital to each other.
Why are you talking about her when she's not here?
It was a good question. Unfortunately, I didn't have a good answer. Titan doesn't chase opportunities. She's too classy for that.
Really?
He asked.
She seems like a hustler to me, but not in a bad way.
She was. She hunted her prey down until she got what she wanted.
But I just got a call from Vincent Hunt yesterday. He's the reason I'm in town.
His eyes drifted away along with his voice, understanding the obvious tension that filled the space around our table. Everyone in the industry knew my father and I weren't on speaking terms. They also knew about the little stunt I'd pulled. No one asked me about my father because they knew they wouldn't get an answer, and I knew no one was stupid enough to ask my father about me. I shouldn't be so surprised my father moved in on Kyle so quickly. When he didn't get his way with Titan, he was pissed. Now he had to make good on his threat and punish Titan for siding with me. It was a blow to his ego, because no one ever said no to him. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Your father?
He asked in surprise. Not him specifically, but what he's going to offer you.
How do you know what he's going to offer me?
His beer had been set on the table minutes ago, but he hadn't had the opportunity to drink it. We'd been conversing too intently. Because he offered the same thing to Titan. She said no.
What was the offer?
He didn't look at the waiter once the basket of bread was brought to the table. He didn't take his eyes off me as he ordered his lunch. I ordered, then handed the menus over. Once the waiter was gone, I continued. He offered to get Titan into stores all over the world in exchange for 5%. It took Kyle nearly a minute to process the deal.
And she said no because
she thinks the two of you could accomplish a lot more. He cocked an eyebrow.
She thinks the two of us could do better than what Vincent Hunt offered? To get her products in everywhere with only 5% in return? I've been doing business a long time, and I've never heard a deal like that.
Exactly. This deal had no effect on me whatsoever.
I could have just let it go and moved on with my life, but my father was trying to screw with Titan, and I couldn't let that happen. Vincent played dirty, so I would play dirty too. Titan thought it was too suspicious. Why would a man like Vincent Hunt make a deal like that? The second something doesn't make sense is when you should start worrying. Kyle didn't seem totally convinced, but he didn't reject my thoughts altogether. I think his businesses are failing. That was a lie, and I felt a little guilty for spreading a false rumor about my father. It was wrong of me to tell the world about my relationship with my father, but at least the story was true. This was pure bullshit. I think this is just a desperate move to ride Titan's coattails. He crossed his arms over his chest, eyeing me closely. I think you should skip his offer. Don't even meet with him. Work something out with Titan. The two of you could be immensely beneficial to each other. You could both get what you want without having to give up a single part of your company. Sounds perfect to me. Kyle rubbed his chin as his eyes shifted away from my face. He considered my words in silence, going over everything I said. I hoped it was enough to entice Kyle. I couldn't let Titan lose this opportunity because of me. It was one of her biggest business goals. There wasn't a single doubt in my mind that she would find another way, but it would take her a long time. Kyle finally spoke up.
It is suspicious.
Extremely.
Titan is a smart woman. Well, I trust her instincts.
Good.
I already scheduled the meeting with Vincent, and I don't want to cancel it so late. Wouldn't want to get on his bad side.
My father was a smooth talker. Hopefully what I'd said today was enough to keep Kyle on our side. How about I arrange a meeting with Titan for tomorrow afternoon?
I'll have my assistant take care of it, he said. My schedule is pretty packed this week.
I wanted to push him a little harder, but if I made my aggression obvious, Kyle would become suspicious. Sounds good. I soothed my nerves by taking a long drink of my beer. The frothy liquid went all the way down my throat, but it wasn't enough to calm my raging heart. I was the reason Titan had lost this opportunity. I had to get it back.
Chapter 2. Titan. There was a distinct chasm between us. Hunt was distant with me. There was an ice wall erected between us. An invisible line neither one of us crossed. He never mentioned my engagement to Thorn. He didn't try to convince me being with Thorn was a mistake. He said nothing at all. Now we worked together like two indifferent people. I didn't like it. But I knew that was how it had to be. Thorn's ring felt heavy on my finger. It was a flawless diamond that still sparkled even when there was minimal light. It felt strange to wear it, like it didn't belong there. I received compliments on it everywhere I went, but as much as I smiled, those kind words didn't go to my heart. All of it felt like a production, a meaningless show. A part of me thought it felt right, seeing the way Thorn smiled up at me. I felt safe with him, like there was no man in the world who would be better. But I also couldn't stop thinking about Hunt, and how much this hurt him. The pain was obvious for both of us, and that's probably why we never spoke about it. Maybe we would never mention it. Maybe we would just hook up and say as little as possible. It was a sad thought to have, but I knew that would be the best outcome for both of us, because nothing would ever change. I was sitting at my desk when Jessica spoke over the intercom.
I have Connor Swade on the line for you. Patch him through.
The line lit up on the receiver, and I hit the button before I took the call.
Hello, Connor.
Titan.
Mysterious, as usual, he said more in silence than he did with words.
I love your voice. I see colors of black, gray, and red every time I hear it.
He was an artist, so it didn't surprise me when he said those sorts of things. They usually came off as sexy or romantic, whether he intended it that way or not. My fling with Connor had been nice because he knew how to please a woman, but also because he wasn't the commitment type of man. I hadn't seen him with a serious girlfriend since I met him years ago, and he never wanted anything serious with me. He respected the fact that I knew exactly what I wanted. Thank you. Congratulations are in order. Thank you. I looked down at the ring on my finger, seeing the large diamond that was one of a kind. Thorn is a good man. I don't say that too often. I'm aware. Connor wasn't the best person to get right to the point. He kinda drifted around, working at his own pace. The only reason I didn't rush him was because I was a huge fan of his clothing line. I got early releases before they were even announced to the public. I loved his shoes, his clothes, and everything else he made. He was truly a genius at dressing a woman to make her look stunning. I'm calling because I sent one of my girls to your office. A gift from me to you. I smiled. I love your gifts. I was hoping you would wear it to the gallery tomorrow. The function had completely slipped my mind. A coalition of some of the most amazing artists had come together to sell their pieces of art. I wasn't a big art collector, but if I saw something that spoke to my soul, I bought it. Of course. I look forward to seeing you. Take care. Bye, Connor. My driver took me back to my penthouse after work. I sat in the back seat while we were stuck in rush hour traffic. Everyone was going home or to the gym after a long day at the office. I took advantage of the time to call Thorn. Hey, what's up? Did you forget about that gallery party we're going to tomorrow, too? Thorn chuckled into the phone. Now that you mention it, yes. Connor sent me a dress to wear. If he hadn't, I probably wouldn't go. Now you have to show it off. It's so gorgeous I would wear it to bed. He chuckled again. That would be a waste. And you would need to iron it for hours to get all the wrinkles out. True. Do you have something to wear? I'll throw on a suit. I've got hundreds of them. All right. You want to pick me up? Sure. I'll drive the new Ferrari I got. Oh, sounds like fun. I love that you understand cars. All my girls like to ride in them, but they don't really love them the way you do. That would change if they were behind the wheel, I said. That kind of power can go to anyone's head. He had a smile in his voice. What are you doing now? I'm sitting in traffic on my way home. What about you? About to head to the gym. Don't you ever get tired of going to the gym? I never liked them. I'd rather starve than find the ambition to spend an hour on the treadmill. Yes, but I never get tired of getting laid. I rolled my eyes. How are things with Hunt? He dropped his playful attitude. Once Hunt was mentioned, I turned serious too. We haven't talked much. He paused over the line. I imagined he was standing in his office, his gym bag sitting on his desk. Does that mean you aren't seeing each other anymore? We are. We just don't talk. I see. It's how it used to be when we first started seeing each other. Just sex and that's it. Is that a good thing? He asked. Sounds like exactly what you wanted. Yeah, I guess. I missed the connection we used to have, the openness. Now it was cold and empty. The silence was filled with all the conversations we never had. I'd made my decision that it would never work between us, but that didn't stop my heart from aching. You know I'm here to talk. I know, Thorn. I should get going, though. I'll talk to you tomorrow, all right? Okay. And by the way, this new dress is short, right? His playfulness picked up again. Actually, yes, I said with a grin. Perfect. My fiancé is going to be the hottest woman in the room tomorrow night. You're sweet. And you know what makes it better? You're the only woman I'm ever sweet to.
It seemed like Hunt was avoiding me. The last time we hooked up, I was the one who showed up on his doorstep. He never came to me. Since he was the one who usually couldn't keep his hands off me, it seemed strange. But I suspected his distance stemmed from his rage. He was pissed at me for saying yes to Thorne, even though I'd given him plenty of warning. Hunt hadn't let it go, and I wondered how long it would take him to accept the truth. A part of me suspected he would stop seeing me. I didn't want to even think about it, because that would be devastating. I'd go crazy without having him between my legs. Seeing him with someone else in the tabloids would make me hurl. But if that were his decision, I'd have to accept it with a stoic expression. Fortunately, the light brightened over the elevator and the doors opened. Hunt stepped inside my penthouse. He was in black jeans and a black t-shirt. Despite the dark color of his clothes, his skin still looked tanned. His hair was styled like he'd just gotten out of the shower not too long ago. I imagined he hit the gym after work before he headed over here. I stood in the living room because I had just made myself a drink. I was still in my stilettos because I hadn't had a chance to slip them off yet. My bag was on the other couch, and I still wore the black jacket I'd put on in the car. I froze in place when I looked at him, my fingers not sensing the cold glass in my hands. My heart stilled in my chest, but once the shock passed, it thumped harder than it did before. A tingling sensation erupted in my fingertips. The skin of my throat suddenly felt cold, desperate for his kiss. I wanted his hot breaths to warm me up, to fall across my skin and make me writhe. I wanted to be loved by this man, suffocated by his powerful affection. He walked across the room toward me, and even though he moved at a normal pace, it seemed to take forever. He wasn't moving quickly enough. His hands weren't on me fast enough. His eyes burned into mine with their usual look of possessiveness. He undressed me with just a look, stripping off my dress and then my bra and panties. His eyes made love to my entire body, even though he still hadn't touched me. He crossed the room and stopped right in front of me, peering down at me with an aggressive presence. I forgot to breathe. He wrapped his hand around my glass, and he placed it on the coffee table without taking his gaze away from mine. His neck didn't have to crane so drastically to look at me, because my heels made me 5 inches taller. But even in the stilettos, I felt tiny in comparison to his height and build. With his eyes locked to mine, he grabbed my left hand. His fingers found my diamond ring, and he pulled it off my finger. I didn't wear it around the house, but I hadn't had a chance to take it off. He dropped it on the sofa table, then finally stepped farther into me. His hard chest pressed against my soft tits through my clothing. His mouth scooped up mine in a heated kiss, all lips and no tongue. That kiss. His hand moved underneath the fall of my hair until he got most of it in his fist. He gave a slight tug, like I was a horse on a rein. He pivoted my mouth exactly where he wanted it to be and enjoyed me, kissing me precisely the way he wanted to. His other hand gripped the back of my dress, making it rise up my body as he bunched up the fabric. More kisses ensued. Our mouths combined, burned, and then they broke apart again so we could breathe. When we came together again, it felt better than the last time we touched. He was making me wet, making me soak my panties with desire. His hand squeezed my dress again before it slid up, and he grabbed the zipper at the top,
He slowly dragged it down, opening the back of the dress until he stopped just above my ass. The dress came loose over my shoulders and started to sink to the floor. He pushed it down, revealing me in my black bra and thong. He tugged on my hair again and kissed me harder. Damn. He pulled me into his hard chest and moved his tongue in my mouth, making it dance with mine erotically. Our touches escalated, our breathing heightened. I felt my pussy tighten even though it didn't have a cock to grip. I wasn't thinking about my engagement to Thorn, Illuminance, or anything else. I was just thinking about the man who was enjoying me so profoundly. His hand casually popped my bra open so it could fall to the floor. He pulled the straps off my shoulders and slid it off my body. When I was in just my black thong, he broke our kiss so he could look at me. Possessive, territorial, and aggressive, he stared down at me like I was his forever. He palmed one tit with his large hand and gave it a firm squeeze while his hand remained in my hair. His eyes roamed down the valley between my breasts, over my flat stomach, and to the lacy panties that were about to be stripped away. "On your knees," he issued the command like a general, leaving no room for misinterpretation. He was in charge tonight. I wanted to be the one calling the shots, but tonight, my body didn't seem to mind. It came to life at his command, making me feel submissive. I wanted to be ordered around. I wanted to obey. I wanted to be whatever he wanted me to be. So I sank to the ground. My knees hit the rug, which was little respite from the hardwood floor. My legs folded, and my ass sat on the back of my heels. My stilettos were still on, and they slightly dug into my skin. I tilted my head up to look at him. He stared down at me with a look of aggressive violence. He enjoyed the view long before he did anything about it. His chest puffed out with a deep breath. He clenched his jaw, and then he undid his jeans. The zipper came undone, and soon his pants were around his ankles. His boxers came next, revealing his enormous cock that was already oozing at the tip. His hand moved into my hair, and he grabbed himself by the base. He pointed his dick at my mouth and pushed inside before my lips had even begun to part. "Open wide." I opened my mouth as wide as I could and flattened my tongue. He didn't hesitate before he plowed deep down my throat, fucking my mouth vigorously. Saliva pooled at the corners, then dripped down my chin. My eyes burned with unemotional tears and streaked down my cheeks. The sensual and soft kiss we had just shared was replaced by a deep throat fuck. But it felt good. He gripped the back of my neck and pushed harder. His big dick wasn't gentle against my tongue and mouth. He hit me deep and hard, plowing me ruthlessly like I hadn't sucked him off in years. His face was etched in fine lines of pleasure. He breathed hard as he enjoyed my wet mouth. The saliva dripped down his base and to his balls. From there, it leaked to the rug beneath us. "Fuck." He pulled himself out of my mouth suddenly, edging himself so he wouldn't release in my throat. He got to his knees on the rug and positioned himself behind me. His hand dug into my hair, and he pressed my face against the rug, making my ass pop up in the air. He widened his stance, then shoved himself inside me. I moaned at his size. I'd had him so many times, but I was never prepared for how amazing it felt. He was all man, thick like a tree trunk and long like a pipe. His hand gripped me by the back of the neck, and he kept my face to the ground as he fucked me right in the middle of the living room floor. I'd never been fucked quite like this. His other hand held onto my hips, pulling himself into me with every thrust. He commandeered the night, taking me roughly just the way he wanted. A moan emerged from him between his thrusts, enjoying every second of my immense tightness. I had the perfect pussy for his big dick, and he enjoyed every second of it. He scooped his arm around my chest and yanked me upward, giving his dick to me at a different angle. He pressed his mouth just behind my ear and thrust into me, his other hand wrapped around my stomach. He hit harder and harder, fucking me like he'd never had me before. My hands reached behind my back, and I gripped his hips, using him as an anchor to pull myself back into him. I wanted more of that cock than he could possibly give. Another inch and he would hit my cervix and make me cringe in pain. My ass smacked against his body over and over as we fucked on the ground like a pair of wild animals. My hands gripped his wrists as I was pushed into a powerful orgasm. My moans turned into screams that filled my penthouse. It felt so good, so deep. My screams became incoherent, and my head felt lopsided from the high I had just achieved. He held on to my hips and made his final thrusts before he came deep inside me, making sure I got every drop of his precious cum. He groaned in my ear, not suppressing his obvious pleasure. I loved feeling full of him like this. I loved his weight, his warmth. It made me feel like the most desirable woman on the planet when I was pumped full of his arousal. When he released me, I moved my hands to the floor as I held myself up on all fours. He slowly pulled out of me and disappeared into my bathroom. I took a minute to gather myself, to remember the exact spot where we fucked. I hadn't done it on the floor like that for as long as I could remember. I may never have done it that way. It was carnal and aggressive, ruthless and borderline barbaric. Hunt returned a moment later after he was cleaned off. I sat up, then slipped off my heels before I rose to my feet. Hunt pulled on all his clothes, ran his fingers through his hair, and then kissed me on the cheek. He'd never kissed me on the cheek before. "Good night." He walked to the elevator. "What? Are you leaving?" He hit the button, then turned around. "Yes." I didn't know what to make of it because he never dropped by, fucked me, and then left immediately afterward. We spent time in bed, made love a few more times, and then he departed long after midnight. Now he was trying to get in and out quicker than going through a fast food drive-thru. "Why?" He narrowed his eyes at me harshly, like I'd said the wrong thing. "You know why." The doors opened, so he stepped inside. I walked to the elevator buck naked and hit the button so the doors would remain open. "Get your ass in here." He didn't move. "Now." He sighed before he stepped back inside my penthouse. The doors immediately closed behind him. He crossed his arms over his chest and stared at the penthouse like it was the first time he'd walked inside. His jaw clenched with hostility. He was obviously angry at me, livid, to be more correct. "I'm not handling this well. I thought I would be over it by now, but I guess I'm not." I knew all this derived from my engagement to Thorne. We still hadn't talked about it, and it was obviously heavy on his mind. He slid one hand into the front pocket of his jeans, then ran his other hand through his hair. I didn't know what to say to improve the situation. I hated hurting him. I didn't do it on purpose. Hurting him was the same thing as hurting myself. I wanted to apologize for it, but that was inappropriate. I had nothing to be sorry for. There was no other decision I could have made. "I know you don't love him." His eyes were on the kitchen even though he wasn't really looking at it. "Not the way you love me. I know he's just a friend you've chosen as family. I even like the guy. But it hurts. My eyes contracted as the pain swept through me. It hurts for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason of all, it should be me. I didn't want to hear this. I didn't want to go in a circle again. Hunt, we can't keep talking about this. It's not going to make either one of us feel better. He shook his head slightly before he looked at me again. He stared at me for a long time, seeing something that only he could see. He watched me closely, his brown eyes soaking in every aspect of my expression. He stared for so long that minutes seemed to pass. You're right. It's not. He hit the button to the elevator again. My heart fell back into my stomach as I watched him step inside. Hunt. What? He held the door open, watching me with a slightly irritated expression. Now I was the one to stare at him. I stared at the scruff along his jaw and fell into the darkness of his eyes. It was time for me to say something, but not a single word formed on the tip of my tongue. What? He repeated, his voice sounding deeper. If you want me to stay, say it. I didn't want to watch those doors close and hide his face. The night I said I was going to say yes to Thorne's proposal, the doors had shut on Hunt's expression. My stomach filled with acid, pain, and tears. I couldn't wipe the image from my memory. Please. Please what? He pressed. Stay. Our eyes remained locked for several heartbeats before he stepped back inside my penthouse. His hostility disappeared at my plea, and he slid his hands into my hair before he kissed me. As if the living room floor hadn't happened, he kissed me as if he hadn't already had me tonight. He kissed me like he'd never had me. His powerful arms circled me before they lifted me into his chest. Without breaking his stride, he carried me out of the living room and into my bedroom. He placed me on the bed and smothered me with hot kisses. His lips reached the hollow of my throat and made me writhe on the bed. Like he hadn't just made me come, I needed him to make me come again. His jeans came undone, and he pushed his bottoms down again. He pulled my hips to the edge of the bed, and he shoved his throbbing cock inside me once more, burrowing deep between my legs, right where it belonged. He moaned from the back of his throat as he enjoyed my usual wetness. I grabbed onto his hips and slowly tugged him inside me, wanting that soft rocking he usually gave me. He thrust at a perfect pace, his hands holding him over me on the bed. His powerful body flexed and moved as he rocked into me, making love to me at a sensual pace. His eyes darkened as he looked at me, claiming me all over again. He was angry, but he was also deeply affectionate like he'd always been. Baby. My hands ran up his chest, as I was swept away by our passion. Diesel. The valet took Thorne's car keys before Thorne took my hand and we walked inside. Reporters were on the sidewalk, and they snapped a few pictures of us before we stepped inside the building. The large lobby was decorated for the occasion with gold streamers and black tables. Paintings hung on the walls, and waiters passed with a tray of champagne. New York's finest mingled together in their expensive gowns and suits. Thorne kept his grip on my hand as he pulled me inside. Champagne okay? Sure. He grabbed me a glass, then placed his hand on the small of my back. His affection felt natural because we'd been doing it in public for over a year. I was used to Thorne touching me, and it never made me uncomfortable. When his hand was on me, I actually felt more relaxed. He was my best friend as well as my family. We mingled with a few people, all of whom complimented my dress as well as my ring. So, when's the big day? Claudia Sawyer, the editor for the biggest fashion magazine in the world, asked. Thorne and I hadn't even discussed it yet. Not sure yet, I answered. We're just enjoying being engaged. His arm moved around my waist, and he pulled me closer to his side. I'm kinda in a rush for the bachelor party, so I'm sure we'll decide something quickly. He winked at me. I chuckled at his wickedness. Your bachelor party will be nothing compared to mine. Hoo-hoo, Claudia laughed. Looks like you met your match, Thorne. Thorne eyed me fondly. I think I did. We spoke with a few other people Thorne knew from his social circles. I saw a couple people I wanted to see, but we were doing so much talking, I never really had a chance to look at any of the paintings. Thorne was in the midst of a detailed conversation about sports, so I broke away to take a look at some of the artwork on the walls. One in particular was full of splashes of color. It was loud, vibrant, and it was nearly screaming even though it didn't make a sound. I stared at it for a few heartbeats before I moved on to the next piece, something more subdued. It fit my personality much better, and I took a moment to enjoy it. What do you think of this one? A brunette in a silver dress stepped in front of a painting down at the end of the wall. She wore black heels with a black clutch in her hand. She was pretty and cheerful. A man in a black suit joined her and stared at the painting, silent and brooding. He had muscular shoulders and a slim waistline. He captured my notice out of the corner of my eye because he reminded me of Hunt. When I snuck a peek and turned my head completely, I realized it was him. I quickly turned away and pretended not to be staring, but my heart plummeted out of my chest. It doesn't mean anything to me, he said quietly. I've never been a fan of art. How can you not be a fan? She stepped to the next painting. It is beautiful. I guess we have different definitions of beautiful. He followed her and examined the next painting in line. His hands rested in his pockets, but his posture remained perfectly upright, rigid and strong. I wanted to walk away and pretend I hadn't seen him, but if I moved too quickly, he would notice me. A wave of jealousy ran through me that I could barely control. I had no right to be jealous just because he was talking to some woman. I shouldn't jump to conclusions, but I didn't like what I saw. They moved farther down the line, and she stopped in front of the painting. You have to like this one, Mr. Hunt. Mr. Hunt. Hunt stared without any discernible reaction. Can't say I do. But it's beautiful, she said. Look at all the bright colors. He shrugged and turned toward me, about to reach my side. I guess I don't like bright colors. His eyes focused on me like he knew I'd been there the entire time. Now this one. He came to my side, his shoulder almost touching mine. This one, I like. What do you think? I knew he was talking to me. I like it too. The brunette joined him and stared at the picture. Yeah, it's pretty good. She crossed her arms over her chest. Hunt stood far closer to me than he did to her. Olivia, let me introduce you to my business partner, Titan. Olivia smiled before she shook my hand. A pleasure. I've spoken to your assistant a few times. I smiled as I shook her hand, still having no idea who she was. Nice to meet you as well. Hunt grinned as he watched me uneasily, probably picking up the waves of jealousy I felt. Olivia is one of my assistants, and has fine taste in art. She was giving me some pointers. Humiliation washed over me at the way I'd overreacted. I hadn't said or done anything, but Hunt knew I'd had a silent freakout behind the mask I wore. I was terrified he'd brought a date to the art gallery, and I'd have to watch some woman drool all over him. That's nice of her to help you even when she's off the clock. She must like you, although I can't imagine why. He smiled at my playful jab. Mr. Hunt is wonderful, Olivia said. When I had my first baby, he gave me 9 months of maternity leave, with pay. Now I noticed the wedding ring on her left hand. That was something I would have picked up on if I hadn't been so flustered. He sounds like a good boss. He's the best. Olivia patted him on the shoulder before she stepped away. I need to track my husband down. I'll see you later, Mr. Hunt. Hunt turned his gaze back to the painting.
Have a good night, Olivia.
She disappeared, leaving us alone in front of the painting. Hunt hadn't dropped his smile. So infuriating. What? He turned to me, the gleam in his eyes.
I was on the other side of the room, and I could still tell you were jealous.
I wasn't jealous, I lied. I just wasn't sure if it was you.
Bullshit. You know it's me before you even get a look at me. I usually could feel him before my eyes actually caught a glimpse. His intensity was sound waves, and my body was the radar. I could detect his heat, his energy. You're here with your fiancé, but you're losing your mind over me and some woman. He turned back to the painting. I find that interesting. I rolled my eyes. You're worse than I am. True, but at least I admit it.
He pivoted his body toward me and moved his hand to my hip. I immediately stopped breathing, my heart stopping at the same time. He was far too close to me than he should be. He could kiss me if he wanted. He could take my breath away if he wanted. His dark eyes homed in on my lips, and he leaned in. But I didn't pull away. He pressed his mouth to my cheek and kissed me. It was innocent and soft, but it made my legs quiver. It made my knees want to fall apart so his lips could kiss my most sensitive features. The kiss was merely polite for a social event, but I couldn't stop picturing him fucking me in my bed. I couldn't stop thinking about the way he came inside me 3 times last night. I'd had so much cum in my pussy that it wouldn't fit. My skin flushed with searing heat, and an almost silent moan escaped my throat. But I bet Hunt could hear it. He pulled away and dropped his hand. I opened my eyes and looked at the intensity in his gaze. He was staring at me the way he did when we were alone together. Everyone else in the room saw me in the beautiful dress Connor gave to me, but Hunt saw something completely different. I was buck naked. I was covered in sweat. I was in his bed, stuffed with his cum. His hands rested in the pockets of his slacks, but his eyes violated me in ways that no one understood. Everyone carried on with their conversations and enjoyed their glasses of champagne, but Hunt and I made love with just our gazes. He licked his tongue up my neck to the hollow of my throat. He kissed me in all the places I desired. He worshipped me like the only woman he wanted in his sheets. It seemed to go on forever. We were interrupted by Connor Suede. If he hadn't come by, it probably would have continued on indefinitely. Sweetheart, you look stunning. His arm circled my waist and he kissed me on the cheek. I almost pushed him off because Hunt was standing there. I knew he hated Connor and was fiercely jealous of him. Even though there was nothing between us now, Connor was a handsome man I'd taken to bed before. I wouldn't want to even look at a woman Hunt had been with. Thank you, Connor. How's your evening? I quickly moved away from his embrace without appearing rude. I wouldn't put it past Hunt to punch anyone in the face for touching my hand a little too long.
It's great.
He wore all black, black jeans, t-shirt, and a leather jacket on top.
I just bought a painting to add to my collection.
That's wonderful. It doesn't surprise me that an artist appreciates art. Connor turned to Hunt and extended his hand.